Parshas Mishpatim begins a different phase of the Torah, and I'd like to introduce a chiddush, a concept that I've thought through this week very carefully, and I'd like to hear feedback. You know, think about it, talk about this chiddush, and I'd like to hear feedback from you. What you think about this? The pasuk begins as follows: Ve'ele haMishpatim. Ashetosim lifnehem. These are the mishpatim. These are the laws. Ashetosim lifnehem, that you should put in front of them. Now, which laws are we talking about? This parasha talks about mostly the halachos of ben adam lechaveri, between man and man. So Rashi picks up on a interesting loshen of the pasuk. The pasuk says ashetosim lifnehem, that you should put in front of them. Says Rashi, Amalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Leisaila al daitu chaloima, don't imagine to say, Eshna lehem haperik v'alocha beisa gimel po'amim, I will teach this halacha twice or three times, ad shetehei sedura b'fihem k'mishnoso, until it will be organized in their mouth like they've learnt. Ve'eini matriach atzmi lehavinom tamei hadobo pirushoi. And I'm not going to be matriach myself, I'm not going to bother myself to explain to them the reason behind it and explanation. Lekach nema, that's where the pasuk says, Asher tosim lifnehem, you shall place it in front of them, k'shulchan ha'oruch, like a table that is set, umuchon lechol lifnei adam, and it is prepared to be eat, umuchon lechol, and prepared, the food is prepared in front of the person. Now, why does that mean, Asher tosim lifnehem means it's got to be explained more? So since the Chachamim brings down, many of the Mefarshim Rashi say, usually the Pasuk usually says, Emoi v'amarto, say to them once or twice, Asher tosim lifnehem is a very, very strong language. That should not be something that just you get used to just saying once or twice. You should actually make sure they understand it. Now let's understand this Rashi carefully. I have a few problems with Rashi. First, the Rashi says, after those two or three times, Rashi says, "Ajtei sedura b'fihem k'mishnoso." They know what's going on, because after two or three times, they do know what's happening. So, what's wrong with you stepping back now and leaving them to it? What next stage is a pasuk requiring from us of Asher tosim lifnehem after the two or three times? Elo, yeah. Ve'ein matriach atzmi lavinam. I'm not going to spend into next explanations. Therefore, tosim lifnehem. What is this tosim lifnehem? What is the extra that the pasuk is demanding of tosim lifnehem that would not be without that? They understand it. Shagura b'fihem. They understand what's going on. They have it clear. What is a tosim lifnehem that's not as clear? Secondly, why is it so important that these mitzvahs should be clearer than any other mitzvah? We are people who are nase v'nishma nation. End of the parasha talks about nase v'nishma. We will do and we will hear. Yeah, we do and we hear, we follow many, many mitzvahs that we haven't the foggiest idea of why they're done. The mitzvah of shatnas, the mitzvah of por adumo. We have no idea what it's all about, and we're very happy to keep them. And the Torah calls it a chok. We are a nation that actually accept it. So why is it over here that no, there's no chukim? You don't, it's not enough that you just follow and just follow instructions. You have to understand the mitzvah when it comes from Adam Lechaveri. What's the idea behind that? Why is that more important than anywhere else? And also this Loshon of Rashi, Keshulchan ha'oruch ha'muchan lechel lifnei Adam, it's based on the Gemara, like a table that is set with food in front of people. It seems superfluous. You know, Tosaf Neim means put it in front of them, get it clear. What is this table with food in front of them? What is the idea behind this? What is Rashi telling us? And why over here in the beginning of the parasha? What's the idea? So I'd like to answer this with a very, very beautiful piece I found from the Chiddush HaLev, from the end of the parasha. And this is an extremely powerful yisod. The end of the parasha, we talk about Klal Yisrael, right at the end of the parasha Mishpatim, it talks about Klal Yisrael receiving the Torah. And the Apostle describes how Moshe went down from Shemayim, and Klal Yisrael said, Naseh v'nishma. We will hear, we'll do and we will hear. So there's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says in Shabbos, in Daf Peiches Amad Aleph, going on to Peiches Amad Beis, Now this tzaddiki, his Sadducee, who came to Rava, Amalei, he said to him, Amma Paziza, the Jewish nation is an impulsive nation. The Kadmisu Pumaichu L'Udnaichu, they allow the mouth to speak before their ears. Why? So he says, first of all, they should have heard what's commanded, and then accept it or not accept it. That's what they should have done. So Robert said back to him, we're not impulsive, anon desaginon bishlimuso, we who have complete faith, ksiv kein, the posuk says, tumas yishorim tenochim, perfect faith of the upright shall lead them. The posuk in Mishlei. Hinoch inshi desagin beliluso, you are people who are set in perverseness, ksiv behu vesalif boigdim yishtom, perverseness of the faithless shall destroy them. In other words, he comes to Rava and says to Rava, you are impulsive. Rava says, you are the people who have it wrong. You are people who have perverseness. You are not straight. But for us who are straight, our faith leads us. Now, what's going on over here? The Tzaddiki, the Sadducee, thought that Klal Yisrael accepted Nasi v'Nishma because they were impulsive, they didn't think. Rava said, you're wrong. We didn't do it because we're not thinking. That's what you think. I'm telling you, we did it because we have complete faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, let's understand the schar, the reward that Klal Yisrael got for saying this Nasa Nishma was unbelievable. The Gemara says, Dorash Rav Samoi, Bishor Shikdim Yisrael Nasa V'Nishma, Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, Shishim Ribu Shemalachi Ashoris. 600,000 malachim came to everyone at Klal Yisrael and gave them 2 crowns. This is amazing. Klal Yisrael got an incredible reward for saying Nasa V'Nishma. This was not something did wrong, or something did absolutely incredibly right. This Sadducee could not understand that. Why not? Why did he not understand the truth what Rava was telling him? So the teretz is, says Rav Henoch Lebowitz, that this is a yisoid. The yisoid is, Rava said to him, you don't understand. You know why you don't understand? Because you don't have complete faith. You don't have complete faith, and therefore you don't understand how the Klal Yisrael could do it. We, whoever, who do have complete faith, understand why we did it. In other words, there's a principle. And the principle is that a person believes that everyone thinks the way they think. Let's take an example. You know, two very clear examples in history, right? Hitler. There was a whole fight in take the Rhineland, right? And there's a discussion whether giving back the Rhineland, give it back, annex it, give it back to Germany or not. I don't exactly all the details. And Chamberlain said, "What does Hitler want? Hitler wants war. He doesn't want war. Let's give it back to him. We'll give it back whatever he wants, and then everything will be fine." Why? Because Chamberlain thought that Hitler thought the same way he was thinking. I want war. I don't want war. I want to kill Jews. I don't want to kill Jews. And therefore, that's the way Hitler's thinking. And therefore, let's give him what he wants. And let's step back. And everything will be fine. But Hitler wasn't thinking that. That was one of his first ways to conquer the world and to kill every single Jewish man, woman, and child. Let's take the peace process in Israel. Roughly, again, I'm talking about in principle. I'm not talking about in particular. In principle, it's basically sliced between what you call the pro-peace and the anti-peace. Now, nobody here in Israel is anti-peace. Nobody wants to go on a bus and get the wife and kids blown up by a suicide bomber. Nobody over here in Israel is anti-peace. Everyone wants peace. So what's the machlokes over here? Why should we negotiate with the Arabs and give them back certain parts of Israel, yes or no? What's the question? Basically, the secular world, what you call the left wing, secular Jews believe, secular Israelis believe, what do they want in life? They want a nice, quiet life. They want to have a nice parnasa. They want to earn a living, enjoy life in a way that nobody's going to bother them. They don't bother anybody else. And that's it. Therefore, we give the same to the Arabs. We give them what they want. And they give them economy. You give them their land. That's it. We'll be fine. On the other hand, the more religious people believe that there's much more to a life than just the quality of having a quiet life. There's something called religion. And therefore, just as we are willing to give our lives for religion, the Arabs are willing to give their life for their religion. Dal Horeb, to go along and destroy the world that is not under Muslim rule. And they're willing to give their lives up for that. And if you can give them as much as you want back, the land, well, that they say they'll be happy with, but you know very well there's much more to life than a bit of land. And therefore, there's no point getting involved in peace talks, because ultimately religion is more important than having a quiet life. And that's what Arabs will believe too. And therefore, each part of way a person believes, he's thinking, he believes the other person thinks as well. Rava said to this Sadducee, you don't understand us because you don't see the world in the same way that we see the world. You are people who have no faith. And therefore you can't understand how Klal Yisrael can have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he'll give them the Torah that actually is going to befit them in every way. We, however, who live our life with faith, can quite simply look and say, Rabbeinu Shalom, there's no way you're going to give us something that we cannot live with. And therefore we who live with faith can go fully faithful. You know, very often people say, ah, there's no way this person is doing this on a level of just as a volunteer. There must be some ulterior motive, because this person himself would not do this particular item, this action, because he has ulterior motives. There's no way that this rabbi can sit and learn all that time just for the sake that he likes learning, because this person doesn't like learning. You understand? A person sees the world in the way that he sees it. Even great people see the world in the same way that they see it. It's a fantastic vault. This is unbelievable. The Gemara says that the Pasuk in Tehillim, Mizmo le David, Hashem mi yogu bo alecho, mi yishkoim behar kudshecho. Who lives in your tents? Who dwells on your holy mountain? Hoileich tomim upoil tzedek, a person who goes straight and who does actions of good. V'doive emes bilvavoi, and speaks truth in his heart. L'ragel al-shoinoi, and does not lie. Says the Gemara, who's that referring to? Gemara Makkos of Choftal Adam Adalef. L'ragel al-shoinoi is a Yaakov Avinu. This is Yaakov Avinu, who did not lie. The Chassid Apostle says, Ulai yimisheni abo, perhaps my father will notice. V'yisi be'enov kemetatea, and I look in his eyes as if I am falsifying, as if I'm a liar. Okay? So Rashi says, L'ragel al-shoinoi, why is Yaakov Avinu the paradigm example of a person who doesn't lie? Le'rotzo le'shake b'tchilo. Yaakov Avinu did not want to lie at the beginning. Sha'omah, he said, Ulai yimishene abo. Perhaps my father will find me out to be a liar. Elo she'imoy hechrichoso, his mother forced him. Comes up from Rashi that the reason why Yaakov Avinu, like Morris seems to say that, the reason why Yaakov Avinu did not want to lie was because he was truthful. He did not want to trick his father because he was truthful. That is why he did not want to take the brachas. But the Pasuk says, Yaakov did not want to take the brachas because it says, maybe my father will find me out and I'll cause myself harm. It wasn't because of he wanted to be truthful. He's scared to be found out. So how can the Gemara prove that Yaakov is absolutely faithful, absolutely truthful, because he wouldn't lie? He was willing to lie, but he's scared he'd be found out. So how does that prove Yaakov Avinu's honesty? Listen to this. This is so fantastic. Says the Henoch Lebowitz, you know what? If a person was not so truthful, then he would have thought to himself, okay, you know what? I'll try my best. I'll try and put on a good show. If things don't work, then my father will understand why I lied. And I explained to him, I need the brachas. I believe Klal Yisrael is going to come out from me. You hope you don't mind that I swindled my way through to things. I hope you don't mind, but you'll understand why this was for good purpose. Yaakov Avinu, if he would have been slightly dishonest, he would have believed that, and therefore he wouldn't have been so afraid to be caught out, because he could have wrangled his way out, and he could have told his father, listen, you understand, you know, sometimes you've got to be not truthful in order to get what you need. Says the Gemara, because Yaakov Avinu was so truthful, he knew his father wouldn't believe him. Because his father would not believe that a person would be untruthful, and therefore, what's going to happen? I will never ever have this excuse. And therefore my father won't believe this excuse. And therefore I'm going to get into a lot of trouble if I'm found out. So Yaakov Avinu, because of his honesty, thought that Yitzchak would not believe him, because Yaakov Avinu will never say a lie, and therefore there's no way Yitzchok will believe Yaakov that he's saying a lie. So that's how honest Yaakov Avinu was, that he saw Yitzchok as being so honest that he wouldn't believe him. And therefore you see from here that a person sees the world according to the perspective that he has of the world. And if he has a healthy, positive perspective, he sees everyone else as being healthy and positive. If a person has a perspective that people are getting at him, then he believes that everyone else has that same perspective. That is the way a person thinks. That is the idea over here as well. What the Pasuk is saying over here is that it's not enough when it counts ben odman lechaveroi to merely know halachas. Listen to this carefully. I want you to understand this. If a person goes through Shulchan Aruch and a person learns through the Hilchos Shabbos perfectly, all the Hilchos Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch, he goes through from the Gemara, he goes through to the Rif and the Rosh, and then he goes to Halacha Lamaisa, and then he takes out, eventually ends up with the Mishabru and Halacha Lamaisa. This person could be a fully fledged, perfect tzaddik. If he wants to fulfill everything he's kept Hilchos Shabbos. Does the same Hilchos Pesach, he's kept Hilchos Pesach. When it comes to Ben Adam Lechaveroi, if a person learns the Halachas of Hilchos Tzedakah, a person learns the Halachas of Hilchos Kibud Av Eim, a person learns the halachas of Chesed, and he learns the halachas of Shulchan Aruch, he has not yet fully understood the halachas. He has not yet fully understood what the Torah demands from him. Why? Because a person sees the needs of other people according to his perspective. And fact is, every human being has a different perspective. Let me take an example. A man who is born wealthy, and he's always had it cushy. His parents were wealthy. He never lacked any money in the world. Right? He always has plenty of money in his bank account. Always, plenty. He lends somebody money. He lends somebody $10,000. This guy comes to him and says to him, you know, I know I'm supposed to pay you back today, but I don't have the money. This person does not understand what this person's talking about. It's a different language. What are you talking about? I don't have the money. So go to the bank and take it out. But my bank doesn't have the money. So go on a credit card and pay me. My credit card's maxed out. What are you talking about? No such thing. So get it somehow. That person does not understand what the person's going through because he sees the world in a perspective where he was brought up. He doesn't see it that way. What the Pasuk is saying over here is, Moshe Rabbeinu, don't try and teach Hilchos ben Adam lechaveroi in a way that is just taught according to Shulchan Aruch. Teach them twice or three times, make sure they have it clear, all the halachas, and that's all you need for ben Adam lechaveroi. No, says the Pasuk over here, do it like a set table. You have not fulfilled ben Adam lechaveroi fully until it's like a table. What's like a table? What's a moshel of a table, says Rashi? Not Peshat. That somebody told me today, Peshat is that a table is that if you have a table with a knife missing and a fork missing and a spoon missing and a plate missing, it doesn't look that great. Make it perfect. If that's the case, Rashi should say the same thing by Hilchos Shabbos. You can't know Hilchos Shabbos till everything's perfect. Why is a Shulchan Aruch over here of food dafka the moshel Rashi brings in this particular case of laws between man and man? What I want to say is like this. Imagine you're sitting by a table and there's soup on the table. Everyone has a plate of soup in front of them. And one person starts choking. Choking, coughing terribly. So somebody else says, what's the problem? The soup tastes fine. What's the problem? So a guy says to him, you know what? Say it's fine, you taste it. In a second, if the guy tastes the soup and puts it in his mouth, he realizes that half a bucket of pepper has gone into the soup. He'll soon understand what the guy's going through. You try and explain to a person the way ice cream tastes. The guy's never tasted ice cream in his life. And he says, no, what does it taste like? See, it's cold, it's sweet. You know what? I don't know. Taste it. The guy takes a spoon, puts it in his mouth. Within a millisecond, understand the beauty of a taste of ice cream. What Rashi is saying over here is, when it comes to an Adam Lechaveroi, don't just teach them the halachas once or twice. What you have to try and do for Ben Adam Lechaveroi is like a table with food in front of you. That a Jew has to work on himself to the extent that he actually tastes what the other person is going through. He is not limited to his own perspective of life. He's not limited to the way he was brought up, the way he sees things. Go and taste what the other person tastes. Go and understand what the other person is going through. Taste the soup. The food's in front of you, so taste it. Go and live that life with the other person for a few minutes, you'll see. I don't understand my neighbor. He's always so angry. He's always so tense. Have you seen what it looks like where he works? Go to the place where he works. You see what pressure the poor guy is under. You live in his house for a few minutes. You see what the kids are doing. They're driving him crazy. Understand where he's coming from. That's taste of food. That is what the Pasuk demands of you. And that is why the idea over here of the Shulchan Aruch, of the food in front of you, is why it's over here. But Adam L'Chaveira is different from Adam L'Mokhi.
Ben Chaim B'Chaim, that's what they say in judgments, in law judgments, that the judges mustn't adopt an armchair attitude. They must put themselves in the place of the litigants, the accused. You know, that's a sforah, so I see that's probably the makor.
Exactly. A dayan has to have a basis of where he's coming from. He has to know. You know, he had very often the judges are elitist. You know, they've studied in the beautiful schools, yeah, and they have no connection with the underworld because they have to know where they're coming from. Absolutely right. That is the Shulchan Aruch. Taste what the other person's going through. There's a beautiful story of Shach Zechonin of Racha. There was one young man who came to Shach, newly married man. And he said that the prices around Bnei Barak are very, very expensive of homes, but he can find a much cheaper home close to the Osem factory. The problem with the Osem factory, they work on Shabbos. So what does Rav Shach feel about him buying there across the Osem factory with Chinuch, with the kids? What does he feel? So Rav Shach said, come back in a week. The man comes back the next week. Rav Shach said, it's okay. So the man said, well, what is that based on? Is it based on Itaz? Is it based on the Shach? Is it based on a Ramah? What's it based on? He said, it's based on, I went on Shabbos afternoon and I walked right across town in the boiling heat to see what like on Shabbos outside the Osem factory. I stood in that building. I tried to look out one of the windows from the stairwell and I was there for an hour. And I looked, what does it look like for these kids? What do these kids see on Shabbos? And the answer is very little. You don't see people being Michal Shabbos. They see the occasional truck coming in and out. No big, it's not such a terrible thing. Rav Shach could not pass in this case sitting on a perspective in his study on the other side of Bnei Brak. He went to see the perspective of the other person. That's what the Pasuk is telling us. And for this reason, Rabbi Isai, the parasha begins with the most unusual mitzvah. Ki sikne eved ivri. A person buys an eved ivri. What is an eved ivri? An eved ivri, according to the Gemara, is talking about a person who stole something. He's a thief. And a thief has a requirement to pay back what he stole. And here we're talking about somebody who cannot pay it back, doesn't have enough money. So the Beis Din sell him. And the Beis Din sell him, and he gets sold by the Beis Din, and that is a way he pays back the one he stole from. What a great way to start with Adon HaChaveri. Talking about a Jewish thief. Terrible! Talk about, but Haftareach or Kamoicha, talk about lending somebody money, talk about the wonderful things of, who knows, a beautiful parasha. It even talks about the laws of looking after different items, somebody else. What is this idea over here of a Jewish thief, the first mitzvah, Jewish thief? What's the deal behind that? Now listen to this. This is a tremendous chiddush. Rashi, beginning of the parasha, says, Ve'ele ha-mishpatim. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim. Avov. And these are the mishpatim, says Rashi. Kol mokim shnei ma'ele. Every time it says the word ele, these, without the vov, posal es harishonim, it basically disconnects with the earlier part. Ve'ele, and these are. Moisif al harishonim, it connects to what it said earlier on. Ma harishonim is Sinai, just like in the previous parasha talks about the halachas from Har Sinai, af elu mi Sinai, so too these are also from Har Sinai. Yeah, these are also from Har Sinai. In other words, these halachas of Eved Ivri did not happen after the Torah was given. It was given at Har Sinai. Ve'ele. This is Rashi's take based on the Gemara that it was given at Har Sinai. Halachas of Avodim was given at Har Sinai. The Yerushalmi disagrees. The Yerushalmi holds that the parasha of Avodim was the first mitzvah in the Torah given to Klal Yisrael. In other words, after, obviously, you have Bris Mila, and obviously you have Evi Menachai. even a question when Eved Nechai was given. But this, the Yerushalmi says, the Yerushalmi says in Rosh Hashanah and Perek Gimel Halacha Hey, that this mitzvah was given to Klal Yisrael in Eretz Mitzrayim, Tachas Oyel HaShibud HaNeira. When Klal Yisrael was still slaves in Mitzrayim, this is when they received the mitzvah. Where is that mitzvah brought down? That is a mitzvah in Perek Vov Posuk Yud Gimel. The Posuk says, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Val Aaron. Hashem said to Moshe Val Aaron, Vaytzaven Al Bnei Yisrael and command Bnei Yisrael. What command was it talking about? Al Matzivam. What did he command them? Says the Yerushalmi, Al Parshas Shiluach Avodim. On the parasha of sending out Avodim, sending out slaves at the end of 6 years, you've got to send them out. Or at the end of by the time of the year, you've got to send them out. So the Yerushalmi holds that the mitzvah of actually sending out Avodim was not at Sinai. It was long before Sinai, when Klal Yisrael were stuck in the middle of a Shibud. They weren't even properly Jews. They weren't even anywhere near leaving Mitzrayim yet. They were stuck as slaves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them all together for a quick shir, 5 minute shir. Rabbi Yisrael goes to tell you a very important halacha, that Avodim, you got to send them out. What's a hurry? What is the hurry? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring in Klal Yisrael and give them this command of sending out slaves as the first mitzvah? Well, they're not going to send them out now. We're not talking about sending them out. We're talking about only when you go into Eretz Yisrael and when you have a yovel many, many, many years later, the halachas begin. So what is the urgency of bringing them and discussing the halachas over them? Not only that, there's a posuk in Yirmiyot. Yirmiyot in Lamed Dalet, posuk Gimel Yudalet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Koy Omar Hashem, Onoichi Kurasi Brisus HaVeseichem, I cut a bris, I cut a covenant with your forefathers, and it says at the end of 7 years he should send out the slaves, and he was very upset with them, and your forefathers not listened to me and ignored me. It comes out that the Yirmiyah, the Novi, is very much rebuking Klal Yisrael, that what are you doing not sending out your slaves? This mitzvah was given in Mitzrayim. Why are you listening to me? So what purpose is there? What emphasis is there on the fact that since it was given in Mitzrayim, they should be listening to Moshe Rabbeinu more than if it was given at HaSinai? What's the idea over there? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz comes out with an incredible yisoid. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz works on the yisoid that we said beforehand, that it's very, very easy to miss a mitzvah of an Adam Lechaveri. It's very, very easy to completely miss the point and believe the Torah is requiring one thing when in fact you require something else. He said, and he brings this down, he said, an Oshir, a wealthy person, will never understand a poor person unless he works on himself. A poor person will never understand a wealthy person unless he works on himself. I can't understand why a wealthy person can't see me in shul. I'm coming to him. Why should I go to visit him between 7 and 9 on Sunday night? It's ridiculous. I'm right here in shul. He's standing next to me. Why can't I go and ask him, you know, show him my letter from the yeshiva and ask him for money now? Well, he's a balabos. He'll tell me when I have to come. Ridiculous. You know what? Stand behind him in shul for the whole week and see how many people will do the same thing and completely destroy his davening. He can't. It's not possible. Unless you put yourself into it, you don't understand it. Let's take an example. And this example my Rebbe Ruchaim Kaufman gave. Hachnosis Orchim. A person goes to a shiva, Hachnosis Orchim. Okay? And he hears a wonderful thing, Hachnosis Orchim, is like the Shechina. A wonderful thing. Fantastic. And he pictures to himself, he wants to be the Machnas Orch. He wants to be the prime example of Hachnosis Orchim. He's going to sit around this table. Eshchok Gefen Pairia Biakase Beisecho. You got all the children and you got the wife there. And you got a big table with 36 matching chairs, all the way down this huge mahogany table, all matching cutlery and crockery, and he's going to invite every person he sees, and the Divrei Torah, and the Zmiris, and the children are going to be singing, ah, Ein Olam Haba, unbelievable, beautiful. He's going to have a big kitchen, and they're going to bring all the stuff, wonderful, wine's going to flow, and he's going to be fantastic. Oh, wonderful, Mamash, what a great mitzvah. Fantastic, it really is great. Okay, and he opens his house And he buys the 36 matching chairs. And then things get a little bit tough. And people who come to his house are not listening to Divrei Torah. They're in the middle of talking to Divrei Torah. They start misbehaving. And the language isn't the way they should. And you know what? Not only that, he gets the name of being, the Machnas Oirech. 1 o'clock in the morning, he gets a knock at the door. He's tucked up in bed after a long day at the office. He gets a knock at the door. Ding dong. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Ring again and again and again and again. He's like, I'm in bed now. You know, I allow people into my house on a Friday night. But now, it's going on. And he hears a little voice. Daddy, there's somebody downstairs who needs you. Now, what happens then? What happens then? Says Reb Chaim Kaufman. This reading has come from Chaim Shmuel Levitz. It depends where this person came from. If this person is an idealist based on knowledge of halacha, then he will say, listen, you know what, I'm an oinus, I'm very sorry, I'm in bed now, I can't do this. Tell him to go and find somebody else. If this person has experienced what it is to be homeless in the middle of the night, to be left outside in the freezing cold, not to have a meal, not to have a bed, not to have a welcome, then this will make all the difference. He'll get out of bed and say, oh, I was in the same position. I know what this guy feels like. He'll get out of his bed, and he'll go downstairs, and he'll welcome him in, and he'll put in a nice hot soup for him, and make a bed for him, and give him, because he remembers what this poor guy went through. You know, there's a fantastic book you should all read. It's called All for the Boss. Ever read the book All for the Boss? It's a father-in-law of Reb Sheinberg. Incredible man, Rabbi Herman, Mr. Herman. He was once on a park bench because he did not have a place to stay in America. And he managed to get together a couple of little bulkas, little rolls. And he made a promise that never will any person who comes in his city have to suffer what he suffered. And he opened his home and incredible things he did. We've got to read the book, All for the Boss. Amazing book. This is what the Torah is telling us. Torah tells us over here, I don't want to give you the halachas of Avodim at Har Sinai. Because to some extent, you forgot what it's like. Now you're free, and you no longer have Avdus. You no longer have somebody over you. I want to give you the mitzvah of Avdus when you're in Mitzrayim, when you are an Eved. Because then, from that perspective, from that outlook, that is how you should keep the mitzvah. Never forget where you are now. Never forget what you feel now and work with that mitzvah. And therefore, while you're still an Eved, even though it's totally not relevant, it's relevant to the extent that you know in years and years time what it feels on your body and to work on that perspective based on right now. If I wait a little bit later for Har Sinai, it doesn't have that same impact. You've lost it to a small extent. Internalize a mitzvah now. Make it part of you that when the time comes, you should be able to fulfill the mitzvah correctly. Says Yirmiyahu HaNavi, you're doing it wrong. Klai Yisrael, what's wrong with you? I gave you the mitzvah of Mitzrayim. You should know what it's like. How can you not send the avodim? And this is again the concept, the perspective a person has to have in Ben Olam Lechaveroi is not what do I need, where am I? It is to work into the other person and understand where the other person's coming from. You know, nobody should ever wish Chas v'Chalila to go through and be in hospital. Somebody to be ill in hospital. Chalila v'Chas. Hashem should always make our families and all Klal Yisrael healthy and wealthy, and everything should go fantastically for them. But if a person does go to hospital, and a person does Chalila have to go through a difficult operation, then he knows what other people are going through. He understands, he can emphasize, and he is a different person. He can phone up. You know, sometimes, should you phone up a person going to operation or not? Should you, shouldn't you? You know, you never know. Chalila, if a person goes through the operation themselves, they'll understand whether a person should. A person doesn't know how to relate to a person who loses a spouse or a father or a child or Chalila v'chas somebody else. Until Chalila, they go through it themselves and then they know a lot better how to deal with it. But we shouldn't need to come on to that. We should work so much on our empathy and looking in and being sensitive to the other person that even without experiencing the difficulties, it should be like a Shulchan Aruch. We should be able to taste their pain. I just want to end off with one incredible chiddush and finish off with that. The Torah demands of us not only to understand what the person's going through, what he thinks he's going through, the Torah demands of us to understand what the person is really going through, even if the person doesn't understand it himself. Where's the proof to that? The Torah says, when a ganav, a person goes and he steals a shoyr or a seh, he steals a shoyer is an ox or sheep. The halacha is, if he's found out later, then he has to bring 5 oxen as repayment, but he only has to pay 4 times the sheep. 4 sheep. So the Gemara explains, why is that? So the Gemara explains, because with an ox, he doesn't have that much embarrassment. With a sheep, though, it's not a normal thing to carry a sheep on your shoulders, or to carry it. The fact that he's carrying it through the streets is embarrassing for him. And therefore, this embarrassment exempts him from one-time payment. He doesn't have to pay now 5 times the amount. He only has to pay 4 times the amount. This embarrassment for him is enough to exempt him from one-time payment, which is a lot. Ask of Henoch Lebowitz, 1 second. You ask this guy if he's embarrassed. Well, I ask him, are you embarrassed? I'm embarrassed. I'm great. I had a successful robbery now. Fantastic. I managed to steal the guy's sheep. Are you embarrassed? If he's so embarrassed, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it if he's so embarrassed. He's not that embarrassed. Ask him, are you feeling upset? Are you feeling upset? I'm not feeling upset. I'm very happy now. I got a sheep. I stole a sheep. You're not feeling upset. So what's the Torah telling us? No. Torah telling us that because he's upset and because he suffered, then let him off one time. He hasn't suffered. The answer is that it's not true. He thinks that he's not suffering, but he's really is suffering. A person has an addiction issue. He believes that the way to make him happy is to get another shot. Have another glass of wine. Yeah, have another beer. Have another shot of heroin. That is going to make me feel happier, because if I get that, I'll feel happy. He doesn't realize that it's just going to make him even worse. And his addiction is actually thinking it's going to bring him happiness, brings him more sadness. When a ganav goes through what he goes through and his embarrassment, he doesn't realize that he's upset because of he is embarrassed. He thinks he's upset because he didn't steal enough, and therefore if I steal again, I'll be happier. It won't. It just make him more upset. The Torah says, forget about what he says. Understand him so well that you understand him better than he understands himself, and therefore let him off a one-time payment that he doesn't have to pay 5 sheep. This is Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim is not going through one or two times and learning the Shulchan Aruch, what does a Torah demand of me? Is X muta or is Y osa? How does one perform this? It's not about that. It is getting it to be so clear, says Rashi. To understand the whole reason, to understand the sensitivity behind the person. Put it in front of them like a set meal. You can actually taste what the other person's going through. Try and get into the other person's shoes. Try and understand what the other person's going through. And only that way can a person really fulfill the mitzvahs of an Olam Lechaveri. Only that way can a person fulfill Parshas Mishpatim. And that is why we have the Parsha of Eved Ivri first. Because Eved Ivri is a perfect example of making the roshim, making the
impression.
The impression on the person himself. The impression was so strong in Mitzrayim that was given to them at the time of while they were avodim. That is the way the Torah expects the impression to be on every mitzvah on the chaveri. That impression should be so clear that the mitzvah is given to an Eved while he's still an Eved. And therefore the mitzvah should be given to a wealthy person who's lending money to a poor person as if it's a mitzvah of a poor person lending a poor person. That is how Ben Omer Shavir Chaveri shall go. And with this kind of sensitivity, with this kind of emphasis on looking at how the other person is dealing with life, not from your perspective, is what the Torah expects from us, what the Torah demands from us, and ultimately what we can actually achieve being from Jews.
What was that reference? Dalet Amud Aleph.